Okay, we'll call House Resources to order. In attendance, we've got Representative Elkins, Co-Chairs Samuels and Ramirez, Representative Gatto, and Representative Olson. So we have a quorum to conduct business. The only bill that we have up is HB 71. I would accept a motion to accept the I version as a working document.
Motion to accept the I version as a working document.
Is there any objection? And we have the I version before us. First up, we're going to have Mr. Webb that can go through the bill kind of in general, as well as the changes to the CS. We've been joined by Representative Ledoux. Go ahead, Henry.
For the record, my name is Henry Webb, staff to Representative Samuels. I'll go through the major changes in the CS from the previous version. The bill is to extend exploration credits to the Alaska Peninsula through 2010. Some of the changes beyond that in the CS are to clarify how the credits work. And first off, there's a 20% credit for wells for which exploration costs were incurred between 2003 and 2007. And these wells must be at least 3 miles from an existing well. That's for 20%. There is a 40% credit for wells that satisfy criteria for the above 20% credit and are also not less than 25 miles outside a unit that is under a plan of development. There's a 40% credit for seismic testing that occurs outside the boundaries of a production or exploration unit. This bill will extend the above exploration credit regime on the Alaska Peninsula competitive lease area until 2010. In this current CS, in Section 6L of the bill, it will extend the above exploration credit regime to the Nanana Basin license area until 2008, so that's an additional year. Also, Section 6M, there was an amendment in the previous committee that would exempt all federal and private land from the existing credit that runs through 2007. We are removing that amendment so that the deal stands. If you were exploring, or if you're going to explore on federal or state land, you'll still get the credit until federal or private land, that will still carry till 2007, all except for ANWR. That will not receive a credit. Those are the major changes in the CS from the previous version.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Henry? Online, we've got Mark Myers. Before I ask Mark to testify, Jerry, did you want to?
We should have Gary Rogers online. He was online. So.
But we'll start with Dr. Myers with DNR. And are you with us, Mark?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. We've been joined by Representative Seaton also.
Great.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Myers, Director of the Division of Oil and Gas, and I guess Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys within DNR. I thought Henry did an excellent job describing the bill and the changes. Essentially, the bill does two major things. One, it extends the credit, the exploration credit, on the Alaska Peninsula through 7 to 2010. The intent behind that was to make sure that because we intend on having, you know, assuming a favorable best interest finding completed, a competitive sale on the Alaska Peninsula this October, was to allow a reasonable amount of time for the credit to be applicable to the Frontier Basin. We also had hoped that with the credit up front and knowledgeable to companies prior to the lease sale, that the competitive bidding would increase because, again, the incentive would be real significant in an area that has no infrastructure and actually no active leases that we're aware of. And secondly, we're hoping that also that the competitive bids might be increased knowing in advance that the credit existed. different than on the North Slope, where a large percentage of the prospective acreage, but not all, is already under lease. So we think this is a real appropriate mechanism. Since the Alaska Peninsula sales in 05, it wasn't reasonable, really, with one more winter drilling season, for the credit to have much applicability to folks that just recently acquired leases. We also hope that by extending it to 10, it was a limited period of time, so that would accelerate exploration costs out there, and also would accelerate, perhaps, the acquisition of speculative 3D seismic in the area, which would be pretty important, pretty critical to the evaluation of any leases purchased. With respect to the Nana Basin, I think it's a judgment call on the legislature. We have active exploration going on in the basin currently under our exploration license area, where a 2D seismic survey was shot this winter. Recognizing that if the survey results are favorable, and the basin does, in our view, look favorable for potential gas exploration, that they would only have a one season to actually apply the credit if they're going to explore. A lot of the areas like the Nana Basin, really, while there's two wells in the basin, the wells didn't explore the heart of the basin. So there's actually very little good exploration geologic data available. There's some seismic as being shot this winter, some earlier seismic, some gravity data, but the actual exploration potential of the basin hasn't really been tested with wells drilled specifically in targets for gas. So that said, in that type, there is significant exploration risk with the basin. The credit, by extending it for an additional year, would allow the company's two winter ice seasons to drill exploration wells in the licensed area. So again, I think that would help encourage probably and accelerate maybe potentially evaluation of the basin. Certainly with a single season, they would not be able to exhaust the number of potential prospects in the basin. So again, I think another year does add significant value to those exploring and could in fact help accelerate a more aggressive exploration program. And limiting it to 2 years makes them have to make that decision fairly quickly. In the case of Nanana, it's different in that people are not going to be acquiring leases. The license area could be converted to leases by the applicant, and I think they have till 2009 to do that. So again, it's not a competitive situation like the Alaska Peninsula, but it's a case where you would probably accelerate the amount of exploration, the level of exploration activity by doing it. And I think Mr. Wedd accurately described the other changes in your CS version of the bill. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Myers, Dr. Myers? Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The application of the credit, and I haven't looked over the new CS, but I have the question of, let's say we're talking about Alaska Peninsula, and we have these credits can be applied to production tax. Now, is that I guess I should restate that. The purpose that we had in doing some gas credits in the past was that to stimulate production of the fines, and then the tax credit would be realized. And what I'm trying to do is figure out in here, can you do exploratory work, get the credit, and apply it against taxes in other basins or in other areas? Or is this credit to actually stimulate production in the Alaska Peninsula area, lease area, where you found a reserve?
Representative Seaton, to the chair, the credit as designed in this bill is an exploration credit. So if you're drilling production wells under this CS, you wouldn't get credit for it. They'd have to be basically exploration wells by their distance from other wells and their distance from units. So it's really an exploration credit. When you look at the application of that credit, the credit is transferable, so it's a sellable credit. So that probably, if you're an explorer and you didn't have production in the state, you could elect to use it, again, to wait until you had production to use it, but more than likely you're going to sell it to someone who is currently paying severance taxes on the North Slope. So it's largely transferable and would be transferable at whatever value that you could negotiate with the people you were selling the credit to. Generally, you would probably receive over 90+% of the value of the credit. Say, and I'll just say, for example, if Shell came in and bought some leases and they didn't have any production in the state, they could go to BP, ConocoPhillips, Exxon, Anadarko, and make an offer to sell them the credit, and they would negotiate potentially 90%+ of the value of the credit directly as a cash payment to them, and then the company buying the credit would use it to defer their severance taxes. More than likely, that's how it's used. There is one prohibition in the bill as written now that you couldn't take severance taxes from ANWR production and use the tax credit there, or any taxes against ANWR. A very unlikely scenario given the time frame in which you'd get ANWR production that you'd ever have any production to offset credit against by 2010. That'd be very, very optimistic. But in reality, that is a prohibition in the bill. But other than that, pretty much any transfer credits would be usable. I would like to say to make clear that the way the bill will work in the Nana Basin, as written, it applies to state lands only. In the Alaska Peninsula, it would be state lands or any native lands within the description area for the lease sale. And there are some embedded BBNC lands. Thank you.
Okay, but Mark, this is Ralph Samuels. This bill doesn't change the transferability of the credit. That's the way that we're doing it now.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It does not change that. And again, to be useful as an exploration credit, since you want it to apply in pretty much equal value to everyone, you pretty much have to make it transferable to provide value to new explorers.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's, as I read it, in direct contradiction to the title, which says that certain exploration expenditures used as credits against production tax on oil and gas produced from a lease or property in the Alaska Peninsula, competitive oil and gas area-wide lease sale. To me, this reads that we are allowing this against credits when we produce oil and gas. And it doesn't say that you can't, I mean, the way I read this, it says we're giving credits for exploring, and you get that credit when you go into production. And so if I'm misreading that, I'd sure appreciate the correction from your interpretation, sir.
Dr. Myers?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Seaton, if you read the title of the bill, that is a reasonable assumption, because it does talk about production tax on oil and gas produced from the Alaska Peninsula. Clearly, the intent is to have the transferability in the mechanism of the bill. So I think maybe the way the bill is titled in line four should be changed to more correctly reflect the transferability of the credit. So that may be something that should be fixed as far as the drafting. But again, the mechanism internally is to allow for the transfer. And apologize on the language there. It does appear to be contradictory.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Dr. Myers?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Which section is that gives the transferability, Mr. Myers?
Reverend Seaton, to the chair, I'll have to dig it out of the original bill. If you could wait a few minutes, we can hunt it down here. We'll just have to look at the statute.
Okay, thank you.
Well, While he's looking for that, we'll go move on with the testimony to Gary Rogers of the Department of Revenue. Are you with us, Gary?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My name is Gary Rogers. I'm an auditor with the Department of Revenue, and I've been auditing these exploration credits under the legislation that was passed last year. I just received a fax copy of your revised draft with the amendments, including in the Nana Basin language. In answer to Representative Seaton's question, I believe it's subparagraph G of the existing statute. An explorer may transfer, convey, or sell its production tax credit certificate to any person who receives a production tax credit certificate may also transfer, convey, or sell the certificate. And then in subsection H, which follows, a producer that purchases a production tax credit certificate may apply the credits against its production tax liability under this chapter. So last year's legislation, it made it to a statewide production tax liability that you could apply the credit.
So it's not in, because we didn't change it, it's not in the bill.
Right. I don't see it changing in the body of this bill.
Okay. Did you have testimony you'd like to give, Gary?
Or
just answering questions?
I think just answer questions. I think the bill's already been introduced, and I was a little late joining to do that. So unless there's specific questions, I just prefer to answer questions.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Are there any questions for the Department of Revenue? Representative Seat.
I guess you were, this is an outgrowth of Representative Chenault's bill from a year ago or 2 years ago. Is that correct?
I'm not familiar, sir, Mr. Seaton, through the chair, with, other than it was Senate Bill 185 last year, I believe, that became AS 4355025 in statute.
We've got Jerry Burnett here. He looks like he wants to give a stab at that question.
Through the chair, my name's Jerry Burnett. I'm a special assistant to the Commissioner of Revenue. And the answer to your question, Senate Bill 185 passed in May of 2003, and it was Senator Wagner's bill. The amendment was offered in the Senate, was offered in the House that made it a statewide exploration tax credit.
Okay. Follow up?
Well, I guess so, because the testimony in the House when we were passing this was that Representative Chenault's intention was that these credits would be available for when production, there was a production tax credit, so that we didn't have people, we weren't spending state money on exploring and letting people lock up and finding oil and gas in Lower Cook Inlet or something and not producing it. And then we're on the hook for exploration, for finding, and no production. And that was the entire purpose, was to tie it to a production tax credit for producing wells. And maybe that was in gas instead of oil only, but that was a key provision of what the intention of the original bill was, as discussed on the floor of the House. And so I'm concerned now that what we've gotten to is the state paying for exploration of an area in which, you know, we're back to the stranded gas section here almost, where people can explore and find a reserve and then decide that they're not going to produce it, and they get the state credit on the exploration anyway. And it seemed to me that that was a key provision that Representative Chenault argued on the floor, and, you know, I agreed with, and many other representatives agreed that that was, you know, a vital component. It seems like we've lost it here, and I'm just concerned.
Response from Department of Revenue?
The bill as introduced was never, it was always tied to production and had transferability in the language of the statute. So there may have been some misimpression carried in some testimony at some point, but, you know, going back to the committee record, in each of the committees it was clearly explained where it applied.
And I'm assuming that an expiration credit, that you're trying to encourage people to go look on the peninsula to look.
Right.
And that's
the idea is that
kind of sweeten the pot a little bit.
Mr. Chair, if a commercial quantity is found, then it will be produced. I mean, that's the idea. And the other thing I wanted to respond to is the title, and we will go back to the AG's office and check and make sure that title actually works, because I understand the concern. It looks like it is applying, the title is applying it only to that oil and gas produced on the Alaska Peninsula. And it's,
I'm assuming that we're going to have an amendment in a minute to change the title.
So. Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think I'd change it the other way, because I think that this is the same thing that was contained in the title of the original bill that said that it was on production from the, it tied to production. And so I think we may have the same thing where we passed a bill that had this kind of a title that indicated exactly what was discussed on the floor of the House, that it was a tax credit against producing you know, you allow the tax credit for exploration, and then when you produce from those fields, then you get the tax credit, and that's what this title ties to, and that's what I believe the title tied to on the other.
The flip side of that is that you would have to be guaranteed to find something before you'd be willing to spend your money exploring, because if you went out and took all the risk on yourself and you found nothing, you eat it. So if you're not willing to do that, nobody's going to go explore. And that's, I think, the point of the incentive, is to say, we will help you explore. Because, I mean, the long-term interests of the state of Alaska are, and you're right, is to get the production going. But if we don't ever explore, because nobody's willing to put their own capital in on the peninsula, which is a long ways away, you got to get the facilities, you got to get shipping, you got to take care of all the details. The problem will be is I know that I'm not going to go explore out there if I have to be absolutely guaranteed that I hit something. That's the point of an exploration credit. So it cuts both ways. We won't ever develop it. That's my view, unless we try to sweeten the pot a little bit without giving the farm away, and that's our job. So, Representative Gatto.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, isn't that sweetening the pot? I mean, currently, they don't have any credit for finding something and then developing it. If we add a credit, that's the sweetener.
But if they find nothing, they're taking all the risk.
That is the nature of the business, is there's a percentage of wildcatting and percentage of exploration that usually results in findings, and that's the risk they take. That's built into the amount of money that they have to generate from production. And now we're also adding a reward for producing. I think that's the incentive.
You want to sell the leases, or don't we? I mean, there's got to be something there that you're selling rather than a chance to go spend tens of millions of dollars. Because without it, on the peninsula, we have a problem.
Well, if we only give them the award when they've found it, by that time they don't need it because they've already found something that they want to find. They're not going to go in and try to find it based upon, oh, well, if we find it, we not only find it, which is a bonanza, but we also get this reward. So I think I would agree with the chairman here.
Yeah, because then the money's been found then. But the front-end costs on this thing are minimal compared to the long-term implications of actually having to find, developing it, getting the jobs, getting the oil or gas. I mean, we're trying to prime the pump here a little bit, what we're trying to do. Representative Rammers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too, want to agree with the chairman. The Nana Basin, the Alaska Peninsula, excluding ANWR, I think this bill is dead on in encouraging the right thing. And finding minerals. That's what we need to do, is find resource wealth and make our state dough. We need it.
So is there anybody else in the audience that wants to testify before we monopolize the entire time here? Is anybody else?
This is Gary Rogers from Department of Revenue, Mr.
Yeah.
Chairman.
Go ahead, Gary.
I receive a number of phone calls from explorers inquiring about this credit and how it works. The one we currently have, and now we're expanding it, and their concern is that sweetener in the exploration phase, as far as obtaining partners to join them in the exploration ventures, and that's a big point to them from my experience and the inquiries I've had. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is anybody else online wanting to testify to this?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Myers.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
One of the points when the bill went through originally was to limit the effect of exploration expenditures to those on the initial evaluation. And if you look at historically how oil and gas works in an exploration well, you drill it and you spend money logging it. But and then if you're successful, you start spending a lot more money putting casing in the well and testing the well. Well, the way this bill was written, it was designed to only give credit to those costs with that initial evaluation and not the further delineation and development to minimize the cost of the state. So it was really looked at as a front-end incentive for the riskiest part of the business, and that's confirming there's oil and gas in the ground. The later evaluation really was not ever the intent of the bill. So the riskiest part, again, is that first step of drilling that well, and if you're on the success leg, the company is going to go spend the money for the rest of the evaluation for the following subsequent follow-up wells. So it was really pointed at those first few wells in an area ideally the first well into a prospect. It had a little more flexibility of use than that, but again, that was the intent, minimize the state's exposure, but put that exposure where the most risk of exploration occurs, the most risk to the companies. And up front, generally, if you have the success leg, you're going to find investors that are going to pay the money, but the risk is the proving up the geological concept. So credit toward geological evaluation, particularly in frontier areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Myers. Also, we'd like to point out that the lease only goes, right now it's till 7, we're extending it till 10, and in the Indiana area, we're extending it only from 7 until 8. So it's going to be a put-up or shut-up type thing. They've got to start exploring now, or else the credit will go away and we can try something different if this mechanism didn't work. But we know that something needs to be done right now, or their exploration will be nil. So, Representative Seaton.
Mr. Myers, I wasn't quite sure. Is that the case in Indiana? Is exploration going to be nil without the exploration tax credit?
Representative Seaton to the chair, I can't tell you whether without the credit the wells would be drilled. I will say they're eligible, assuming they apply, for drilling that would occur next year. So clearly, if the bill stays as is without amendment, they would have 1 year where the credit would presumably apply to the locations they would choose to drill. And more than likely, the locations they would choose to drill would be eligible for 40% credit. So they'll get it. The question is, do you want to extend it an additional year, and what does that buy you in doing that? That's what this bill suggests, and I think the logic is then ideally they would have multiple exploration targets to explore for, and if they, in fact, this first season found a very successful field, probably you wouldn't need additional credits. They would be so encouraged they'd be out there drilling. On the other hand, if the first season's exploration wells were so-so or negative, but some of the geologic elements that we believe are there were there, they could well spend additional funds next year to drill those wells. So I would say that whether or not this credit would be necessary for the exploration would be dependent on next year's drilling results. And not having that crystal ball, it's hard for me to predict.
A follow-up. Can you point to me in the bill where we are not allowing this credit on anything that would be, you know, I see casings and all these things on there, cementing and logging and all that kind of stuff. Where we are talking about just the exploratory phase and what delineates of exploratory versus further defining the field and how that would be not qualified under this?
Representative Seaton to the chair. If I look at the original bill, under Section 3, it says, may not be for testing, stimulation, or completion costs, administration, supervision, engineering, or lease operating costs, geological or management costs, community relations or environmental costs, bonuses, taxes, or other payments to government related to the well, or other costs that are generally recognized as indirect costs, financing costs. Then it lists a little bit more. It talks about seismic credits. You can take it in one part. In the 40%, you can't go back and get additional seismic credits with the well. So that's the restrictions basically built into the bill. The regulations that Revenue wrote have a more detailed list of what's allowed. As to the number of wells exploration wells that can require, there are some fairly complicated language that says that, again, it has to be 3 miles away from another well. There are cases where that's not required under the current bill. Under the amended version, I believe that will be required. So there's variances on that. There's also a recognition that an existing well, if it's old more than 35 years old, is not an existing well. So there's a definition of what qualifies from a well from the distance for the exploration standard. It's a bit complicated. It also recognizes that if you're out there in the same season, you can drill multiple wells fairly close to each other, as long as they're within the same, I think it's a 150-day window. So again, the bill has a few exceptions to it, but generally requires a distance criteria from wells and also an additional distance criteria to get the highest level of credit from existing units with a plan of development or plan of production or development. Thank you.
And just to follow up, the Cook Inlet exploration tax credit that we passed in the last legislature, how different is this than that? Can you kind of outline that for me?
Representative, seat to the chair, there are areas of Cook Inlet that this credit applies to, particularly with seismic outside of units, for example, in Cook Inlet. It does apply, and in certain locations of Cook Inlet, it's far enough that it does apply. Additionally, a credit was passed for production to pay for, it's a tax credit again, allowable against development, exploration and development costs for gas. It was a 10% tax credit. It was a different focus. It was more focused on the actual development. You were allowed exploration credits at the 10% level, but only on those costs on a successful well. Yeah. So it took the exact opposite approach here. This bill looked at exploration risk. That looked at a development cost, Cook Inlet specific, for gas, for 10% gas. And it allowed against really pretty much all capital costs allowed with drilling and production. There are a few restrictions, but primarily. So it was a much broader credit, and it was specific to gas exploration, focused on the Cook Inlet, but actually, when I think about it, I believe it was south of the North Slope that it applied.
Right. So that bill was what I was talking about before, about only if you produce the gas, not if you drill and cap it off and leave it in the ground. And this, we are kind of betting on the come that if people find a good gas supply, they will develop it at some point in time.
Or under Prudhoe Bay.
And then, yeah, or oil. But, yes. One further thing, if this does apply to some areas of Cook Inlet, would this allow drilling to the deeper depths that AGOCC has suggested in the Cook Inlet, off the Cook Inlet platforms, if those wells are over 35 years old?
Representative, seat to the chair, most of the platforms have newer wells from them than 35 years old. Even the older producing platforms, they drill development wells. So there are very few cases where wells drilled off an existing platform will qualify for two reasons. One is generally there's a unit around the well, and those units, again, within a unit, you're not allowed to get the credit at all. Secondly, that even if you are outside the boundary of the unit, often you're within 3 miles of another well. There are areas in Cook Inlet where you can get the credit, but they're a relatively small portion of the prospective part of the basin. The deeper zones, the things that Dan Seamount was suggesting, would require a different standard. And the standard has been applied in other incentive programs, a standard similar to that. But in this bill, again, it was envisioned, I believe it was envisioned to look at frontier exploration, not what we call step out or exploration for deeper targets that might underlay or shallower targets may overlay known oil accumulations or gas accumulations.
Thank you.
Any other questions for either DNR or Department of Revenue? And there's still nobody in the audience wishing to testify. What I'd like to do is move on to amendments, and I've got one that I've labeled Amendment 1. It is to page 4, lines 22 to 24 is the beginning. It should be on your desk. And correct me if I'm wrong, Henry, but it basically changes the definitions for the Nenana Basin. It cleans up the language. So it's pretty much a technical amendment, and I would move Amendment 1. Is there any objection to that? Amendment 1 carries. A conceptual amendment for the title, perhaps? No? You go another way, okay.
No, I just don't know where to go with it. I'd like to see the language, actually.
The chair would accept a motion to have a conceptual amendment on the title, which on page 1, line 4, eliminates the produce from release or property in the Alaska Peninsula. Competitive oil and gas area lease sale area, and we'll make it conceptual to make sure that we know that we can the credit as is applicable now can be transferable.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd go ahead and make that conceptual amendment.
Okay.
I mean, if, just to make the bill consistent.
Sure.
Whether I agree with that.
I appreciate that. And is there any objection to the title change amendment? And we will get the language to all the members when we get the draft back.
Yes. Chair, just in particular, you're just deleting line 4, or was there
the way that I read it, and I'd rather have the draft do it, is on line 4 after the word gas.
Okay.
It'd be produced from a lease and property, because it doesn't have to be. It's not a production tax credit, so it doesn't have to be produced on the Alaska Peninsula competitive oil and gas area with lease sale. That's the way that I read it, but I'll let the drafters take a better look. Are there? Yes, Senator.
Here we go. I think that what we're probably doing is moving that description up above, so that means that the exploration is on those areas, and then it gives tax credit. So basically, we would be moving, you know, from a lease on Alaska Peninsula or Nenana Basin to above on line 3 after state, I think. Conceptually. Yeah.
We'll work it out. If there's any questions, we will get it to all the committee members.
But just to get it on the record, the intent is not to say it doesn't have to be
produced
in the Alaska, that the exploration needs to be in the Alaska Peninsula or Nenana Basin. That still is in the bill, but the production doesn't have to be from the Alaska Peninsula or the Nenana Basin, because we're allowing the transfer of the tax credit.
Okay. Everybody confused?
Yes.
It's a conceptual amendment. I said before, God gets to the next committee, we will have everybody give a blessing on it. So are there any other questions or amendments for either DNR or DOR?
When we use the term Alaska Peninsula, does that include offshore?
It's defined on here specifically, and Dr. Myers, that specifically excludes offshore, if I remember correctly, doesn't it?
Mr. Chairman, it does, but it includes state submerged waters, which are generally considered state lands, out to the 3-mile limit. It would not include anything in the offshore. The bill itself, prior to this, does only include lands basically out to the state submerged lands. It doesn't include any of the OCS, and this would stay consistent to that.
Yes, and I believe it's in your packet, but it's not. The local communities out there have supported this concept, particularly the onshore. They particularly the concept of the lease sales.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, just to let you know, within our preliminary best interest finding, the commissioner has restricted any drilling from onshore directionally offshore. So the sale as proposed at this point in time would not allow the placement of offshore drilling facilities.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Mark, would that include a portion of Cosmopolitan?
Reverend Seaton, to the chair, it would not. Those standards apply strictly to the Alaska Peninsula sale.
Oh, okay.
It would be allowable under the current Cook Inlet best interest finding to put offshore facilities.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could we get either a letter of intent or a section stating that as far as the Alaska Peninsula, it is for onshore drilling, but covering the area out. Is it in there? Can you?
Representative Seaton, to the chair. It's in our preliminary best interest finding. It's also in testimony last year that Commissioner Irwin gave to the House Oil and Gas Committee.
And will be in lease terms.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to figure out whether we're passing a bill. Should we have that in the legislative intent here as to what we mean? Or our legislative definitions, if that's what we're applying to, instead of just someone's testimony as to what they're thinking about doing.
I agree with you on the testimony, but if it's in the best interest finding, because the legislative intent doesn't go into the statute either, so we could put language in here excluding and get into the definitions of offshore, but I think it's probably covered. With the definitions of the land that's in the last couple pages of the bill. And we can certainly
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be very consistent with what the division and department are saying, and it's very consistent for us to make sure that we're indicating what we mean, because these ranges and all could be do include the offshore portion, and I don't think any of us at this time are supporting that. So
accept an amendment to
we take a brief at ease.
Yeah, I saw that, but it still doesn't mean they can't change it, though. I think we're doing okay still. Perhaps an amendment to page 7 at the end of the page, line 31, stating that the production tax credit does not apply to any offshore drilling.
I'd make that conceptual amendment.
Is there any objection to that amendment? Amendment number 3, I believe we'll call that one. Hearing none, amendment 3.
Just a clarification.
Yes.
Do we mean, here we go back again, when we say offshore, do we mean everything beyond 3 miles or everything that's wet?
Dr. Myers, we're going down a rabbit trail here.
Mr. Chairman, you know, I think where we put it in the record was last year when we amended the five-year schedule to allow us to hold the Alaska Peninsula. Commissioner Irwin put in the letter of intent that he would not allow offshore drilling. I think in terms of applying to the OCS, that's clear in the language of the original statute here that only applies to lands within the state of Alaska, which by definition limits the federal offshore continental shelf. The second step, again, the stipulations basically are pretty much in the lease sale, and I don't think we'd buy much by, again, repeating that here. It only would tell you that you couldn't get the credit for something that's not going to be allowed in the lease sale anyway. So I'm not sure, again, it would have much cause and effect, but I know for a fact it's not available. It's not allowed. The credit cannot be used on the federal OCF. We've just pulled up the letter of intent from the journal. It was on Senate Bill 266, Letter of Intent. It is the intent of the legislature that if the state deems that in Alaska Peninsula oil and gas lease sales in the state's best interest and the sale occurs, companies only be allowed to access offshore drilling prospects from onshore drilling sites utilizing directional drilling technology. So, again, you're on the record in when you passed Senate Bill 266 last year, and we're on the record as well. Commissioner Irwin's on the record. And the preliminary best interest finding is consistent with both those intents.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm satisfied that we've got it on our record here, too, and so okay. I'd withdraw Amendment 3.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Senator Rammers.
I'm pleased with this bill, Mr. Chairman. Oh, and I'd be delighted to move CS for House Bill number 71, Resources 24-GH1040/I, with amendments, individual recommendations, and a zero fiscal note.
Attached fiscal notes.
Attached? Yeah. An attached fiscal note.
Any objection to moving 71 out of committee? Hearing none, 71 is moved on to the next stop on the bus, and we are adjourned.